Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Already, we have heard a great sermon in the hymn we just sung. One particular passage there in the first verse says, "He bore the enormity of our guilt." As we continue our journey to Jerusalem towards that awesome Good Friday, where Christ is finally lifted up on the cross for our sin, for our guilt, for our shamefulness, we ponder once more our need for this forgiveness, our need for this sacrifice. And in our text today, it's a wonderful, beautiful text, but it's short-circuited. It's only a portion of what the text should be, but we'd be here all morning, for the text goes on into the next chapter. But here, the author tells us and describes to us the meaning of the Old Testament ceremonial law and the great significance. It talks about the superior place in which the sacrifice is offered. It talks about the superior priest, and it talks about the superior sacrifice. Perhaps now we're in this week where we have midterms and tests, and some of us have already been there and done that, and hoping we get the t-shirt, we probably regret some of our lack of preparation, or we regret the lack of time in getting all the text read. We regret not taking a few more minutes and looking over our notes. Perhaps we regret not taking serious this test, or we thought it might have been a little easier than we thought. And sometimes we feel guilty, but sometimes to cover up some of that guilt, we like to perhaps blame the professor, or blame the difficult language of the text, or maybe the difficult language of the professor. And then there's that blame that goes at home and that guilt that goes with our families. You know, we deprive our families of quality time because we're studying, and we feel guilty about that. We're a little on edge and we feel guilty about that, and so we don't say the nice, pleasant things or a tone of voice that our wife would appreciate. And then there's, of course, those egging guilt feelings we have from things way gone past. Probably most people forgot, but from time to time they nag at our heart. And so Lent becomes a time of digging up those things that we haven't yet resolved before God and confessing them and laying them at the feet of Christ, because Christ is the superior one, the only one to whom we can go to have our conscience washed clean. The superior place, our text tells us that Jesus went into the Holy of Holies, not the one created by hands that was in Jerusalem, but the heavenly Holy of Holies, of which that was represented in Jerusalem. And certainly there is a corresponding relationship, for God certainly was in the temple there, but he was also in the great temple of heaven, of which the temple in Jerusalem was only a shadow. So Christ went into the superior temple, one was not touched by sinful men carved from the earth, but one was established by God himself. Christ is also the superior priest. Those who went into the temple in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, those priests had to carry blood that was sacrificed for themselves as well as for the people. They were born of sinful men. They lived among sinful men and were sinful men themselves. And they were only allowed once a year to go into that sacred room before God, first to offer sacrifice for themselves and then for their people by sprinkling blood in that holy place. Christ is the superior priest. He was a priest who did not have to offer sacrifice for himself. His conscience was clean. He was perfect and holy. He was the incarnate God made flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, and buried. He offered the most precious of sacrifices, the most holy of sacrifices. He was indeed the perfect priest who continues to this day to perform his priestly function and be an advocate for us, as the liturgy has spoken so well. The perfect sacrifice. The blood of animals only gave the Israelites an outward cleansing, totally ineffective as far as any lasting kind of forgiveness of guilt or sin. That blood had to be sacrificed daily in the temple. Daily animals' blood was shed so that the people of God might be reminded of the grace of God and his forgiveness, and be reminded that their guilt was so terrible that it would cause the death of innocent animals. But Christ, the Lamb of God, as John proclaimed, offered up himself, his own flesh and blood, on the altar of the cross, so that as that blood poured out from his head, from the wounds of the thorns, as it spilled out from the wounds of his hands and his feet, and as finally as the water and the blood spilled from his side, so our consciences were cleansed. The scriptures in Hebrews tells us, our text, that we were washed in the pure water of baptism, and our hearts are now sprinkled by the blood of Christ. The Israelites only had the blood on the outside of their bodies and their garments, but we have our very hearts sprinkled by the blood of Christ as we approach the altar and receive the body and blood of Christ. As that blood courses through our veins and goes to our heart, we are not only justified, but we are also sanctified. And so now we are delivered from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Our conscience is clean, and we can stand boldly before God and enter with our brother Christ before the living God, who proclaims us righteous and holy. And now we take on a priestly function to proclaim the word of God, of his mercy and grace, which is shown to us in Christ. And now we become advocates for those who do not yet know Christ, advocates for those who do. And as Christ's blood suffers or goes through our veins, there will be times when we perhaps will shed a drop or two as we identify with the sufferings of Christ. As we join with him in his death and baptism, so we join with him in his life. And as we have joined with him in his life, so we also join with him in his resurrection. And so, as the closing verses of our text say, so Christ was sacrificed once for all to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, but this time not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So we wait to enter that superior tabernacle and temple. We wait to greet our priest face to face. And we wait to celebrate the banquet where it will be communion forever with Christ and where the sacrifice is needed no longer. We wait. Amen.